All right, everybody, what's going on? It's Casey on the VIP Horror Podcast, and I'm joined by one of my best friends again, Mr. Trent Eversole. And we're going to be reviewing the Forever Purge. And I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, this is probably going to be our most controversial episode that you can imagine. Because this movie touched on a lot of things that's going on in the real world. So if you're easily offended, you probably need to tune this show out. We're going to try to stay, like, in the realms of being fair as we possibly can be. Because let's be real, y'all. We're all humans. We all have our own beliefs on everything. Whether that's religion, politics, the way the world works, whatever. You know, if we were all the same, then nobody would be different. You know, there's different views for different things. There's different ideas for different setups. You know, you just can't all think the same, because at that point, we'd just all be robots. Who wants that? So this Forever Purge really touched on a lot of stuff that's going on in the real world. And the movie is worth seeing if you're a fan of the Purge movies. Wouldn't you agree, Trent?
It's worth seeing if you're a fan of the Purge movie. It's worth seeing if you're a fan of the Purge movies. I will say, though, however, I do think they took a step in the wrong direction.
I have to agree with you on that.
And I'm going to be the first one to be controversial.
Okay.
It all started with the first Purge.
You're talking about the fourth one, actually.
The fourth one.
The prequel. But
the prequel, the one they called the first Purge.
Yep.
You couldn't have said it better earlier, Casey. Video games, music, movies, we all go to it as an outlet, a form of entertainment, a form of fun, a way to step away from reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but Hollywood, I do not need you continuously cramming stuff that is already shoved down our throats on social media platforms and in the news in a movie. I'm there to be entertained, not to listen to crap that I avoid on social media and the news.
Yeah, I felt like this movie, when you go to the movies, correct me if I'm wrong, even before the pandemic, now the pandemic's over or whatever, when you go to the movies, that's kind of like you go to get entertained. You go to escape reality. I felt like with the Forever Purge, you didn't escape reality. It was a constant reminder of what reality is. They kept tugging on the racial lines with this movie. And I felt like they were going that way with, you know, the Purge election year. They kind of went that direction, but it wasn't as bad. And then the first Purge, they went really with that direction. And then the Forever Purge, it just went haywire with that direction. I felt like out of all the Purge movies, I felt like this one was more chaos, more holy shit moments, you know what I mean? Like there's no stopping the Purge. Like, you got that feeling with this movie. And that's kind of what they implied in this movie. Like, I do like the idea that the Purge was going on during the day. You know what I mean? Like, some of that stuff was going on, that you had these people that absolutely lost it and wanted to keep continuing on the Purge and stuff like that. But what it kind of reminds you of is all these riots you saw last year in 2020. It reminded you of all that craziness you saw in 2020, of people just going at it with each other over racial injustice, pretty much. You know, just going at it over, you know, whose skin color is who. And, like, me and you, we grew up in the same school. We grew up in the same city. We, you know, we went to schools with many different people of many different colors. We never looked at each other different than one another. We're all one race, the human race. It's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, what you represent. I don't care what you believe. You know, hey, if you're cool and I think you're a cool person, then I'm going to be cool with you. So this whole racial tug line in the Forever Purge, I don't see that. I never saw that in the city that I grew up in. I'm sure you felt the same way. You never seen any racial stuff that you grew up around neither. I'm not saying that it probably doesn't exist, but I know in my 35 years of living, I've not seen racism, you know? No. So, but I don't know what, I can't speak on other people's behalf. That's the thing. But I felt like the Forever Purge was really tugging hard on the racial line. I felt like out of all the Purge movies, I disliked this one the most, even though it seems like it's more chaotic and more true to life right now. But I couldn't really get into this one. I just really didn't enjoy this one as much as the other Purge movies. And I wasn't really the biggest fan of the first Purge, aka the fourth one, which was actually the prequel. I wasn't the biggest fan of that one. And I still like that one a whole lot better than this one. I don't know. I just really didn't enjoy this Purge movie, if you want my honest opinion. I really didn't enjoy it at all.
I liked it. And I went into the movie theater with an open mind, even though from the commercials, I already knew what it was going to pretty much be about. They were going to continue to push the racial agenda and just... It's not what we need right now.
Yes.
Because, you know, I've never had any issues with a race or what you represent. You know, we've both had friends of different color beliefs. And, you know, to me, that's just... I think that's why all the movies we've gone and watched and in TV shows, I enjoy it all less and less, just because everybody has to tiptoe around and kind of play like a 50-50 type deal. Like, oh, well, we played in favor of, you know, this group of people. Now we got to play in favor of this group of people, and we got to cast this group of people as the villain. And you know, there's ratings on everything. I've noticed it in other things, such as video games. I know this is a podcast about movies, but there's ratings on everything. And if what it's mentioned in the rating doesn't fall in with what you want to see or you want to hear about, it's simple. Don't go watch it. Don't pick it up. Yep. Don't purchase it. Stop ruining everything for the rest of us.
Yeah. I don't know. I was very excited to see the Forever Purge because I've always been a big fan of the Purge movies. But I felt like, I mean, am I going to add it to my horror collection? I mean, obviously, it's a Purge movie. I have them all. But I feel like I enjoyed this one the least, definitely. I felt like I was, when I left the theater, I was disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like, wow, that was a Purge movie. It honestly didn't feel like a Purge movie.
No, it didn't.
It felt like it was more about focusing on the racial aspect of it than the actual Purge aspect of it.
Yeah, the racial aspect of it and the problems of today that people keep reminding everyone of, when it's just like, let's just move past this. Because did I like it? I liked the Purge movie, the Forever Purge. Was it my favorite? No. I think it would have been way better had they have stuck to the formula they used in number two and in number three.
Oh, yeah, because those were the best Purge movies of all time, in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
I mean, those two, they're untouchable, in my opinion. Like, I can't, when I was sitting there watching the Forever Purge, I was sitting there thinking, like, when it was getting closer to the end, I'm like, okay, this is definitely not on my top Purge movies. But when I think back about the Purge, it's always, oh, look at that bug that just landed on me. We're doing our episode outside, people. I thought the Purge Anarchy and Purge Election Year were superb movies. I mean, they were, it's hard to pick which one's better between those two Purge movies. Like, they were both good. And I get it that you can't keep using the same formula over and over and over because then it becomes dull. So I do like the idea that they're branching out in different directions with the Purge, because if you think about it, the Purge has always been in a big city. This was more in the backwoods country.
Purge Election Year.
Yep.
When the movie ended.
Yep.
And it was talking about, you know, it going global or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because foreign countries were coming to the United States to celebrate Purge Year, to release their anger, their aggression.
Yep.
Right there. You didn't need to go to no prequel. We didn't need the one we had. You had the next movie lined right up.
Yeah.
There's no escaping the Purge. You could have had it going global, and you could have showed different scenarios in different countries on what's going on because of the Purge, and the Purge now is taking over. And the NFFA, instead of being strictly to the United States, could have been overtook the world power and been in control over the globe. And then it could have been, you could have had the same people from 2 and 3 that had groups formed to fight against the NFFA, have different groups or gangs, however you want to call them, mercenaries across the globe set up for a strategical attack to take them down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have had your ending to that one and had people that didn't want to give it up. And then this one, the Forever Purge, could have still been set on a global setting, but with the NFFA starting to fall, but people not wanting the Purge to end and wanting to keep it going, and set it right up for a sixth.
Yeah, you're right.
But no, we had to go political. We had to... I'm just going to stop right there. I'm getting too controversial with this because I got stuff I want to say. But
I know. It's kind of like you got to bite your tongue because, like we talked about, everybody has their own beliefs. And I feel like this movie really tugged on a lot of that. And it was kind of like, it was almost uncomfortable to watch it in a theater with a group of people because, you know, everybody has different beliefs. You know what I mean? So the person next to you, you don't know if they believe the same as you do. And after last year, after the year we went through last year with the pandemic and all the political bullshit that we had to deal with from the right, the left, right, you know what I mean? Like everything. Like we didn't have nothing going on last year all across the world. So what did everybody do? They turned into the news because they wanted to see what was going on. So there was just this constant divide, whether you're left or whether you're right or whether you're right or whether you're left, you know? So I feel like them going back and reflecting on this did not, it just left a sour taste in my mouth. It's like you said, let's move on from it, you know? Now, granted, this movie was filmed before the pandemic. This movie was filmed before COVID, you know? So, but who would have thought that when this movie was filmed that it would be so true to with how the world is today? You know what I mean? It's crazy if you think about that in reality. It's just like, wow, it's almost like they saw this shit coming, you know?
But how do we know, though, they didn't go back and edit it and change it up? How do we know this was the original movie?
No, this was the original movie because it was supposed to come out in July. They were going to release the trailer in March. But see, what happened was that's when COVID-19 hit of 2020. So they pushed it back because remember, there was no movies being really released at all last year because the movies didn't want to release them because they knew that there were so many COVID restrictions, you know, 15% capacity, 7% capacity. 30% capacity. So if you're a big blockbuster movie, you're not going to release it when you don't think a lot of people's going to go and actually see it. You know what I mean? Because you ain't going to make your money. True. So they never released the trailer for this movie because they pushed it back a whole year. So that was the thing. And, you know, when all those riots was happening last year, you remember me talking to you about this and seeing all those videos of all those riots happening, right? I said, man, it's like we're living in the Purge. So when I found out that they pushed the Forever Purge back a year, which, you know, is this year, I was sitting there thinking when I first read that, I'm like, God, can they even really release a Purge movie again? Because we're so close to living in that time. Right. And if you watch the very first Purge movie that ever came out, I'm not talking about the first Purge, but the first one before Anarchy, you hear them talk about, like, the first year that the Purge happened was 2022. And here it is, 2021, and we're so close to living like how the Purge actually is. You know what I mean? I mean, not trying to get political, but let's think about some of the stuff that went on and that's going on. You know what I mean? Like, we're tampering with that Purge line. And that's kind of crazy if you really think about that. I want everybody to think about that. When you hear me speak on this, I want you to think about how close we are to the actual Purge. With police not responding to certain things. Crime at an all-time high. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain stuff that we're right there on the Purge line. So, not going too deep into anymore without getting even more controversial on stuff. As this movie as a whole, I felt like this movie was probably the weakest one in the Purge film franchise. I couldn't really get into this one too much. Like, it was hard to get into this just because of how much subtle and subliminal stuff they were throwing in the movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, okay, I'm not being entertained. I'm having a constant reminder of reality. You know what I mean? If you like the Purge movies, you'll still, I mean, it's just basically with any other Purge, you'll still have that craziness and people losing their mind. But like I said, it's a constant reminder of how reality is. So, a 1 out of 10 on this one, I got to be real with you. I'm going to give it a 5. I wasn't a fan. I really wasn't a fan of it. If you're a fan of the Purge movies, yeah, check it out, but just don't go in there with high expectations. Trent, what's your take?
Well, I'm just going to wrap it all up in one big cozy blanket and say, I like the movie, but along with every other movie that has come out this year that we have gone and we have watched, have I enjoyed them? Yes. Have I been let down? Definitely. You know me. If a movie's really good, I'm on the edge of my seat. I sit forward. I'm waiting. I'm like, oh, man, this is getting real good. Like, what's going to happen next?
Right.
I've taken a couple naps in the movie theater. I ain't going to lie. And I think it's all because everything that has gone on in the world as of late, everyone's kind of afraid to just go full force and not really worry if they hurt someone's feelings or offend anyone. And they're tiptoeing around. And I'm sorry, I don't like having to tiptoe around and worry if I've hurt someone's feelings.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm going to have to agree with you. And man, I'm just going to have to give it a 5, honestly. Was it good? Yeah. Will I buy it when it released digitally? Of course I will. It'll be one that I'll go back and I'll rewatch, but just like I mentioned earlier, every movie ever since theaters have opened back up, I've been let down.
I wasn't let down with Fast and Furious 9. I did enjoy that.
I enjoyed Fast and Furious 9, but
it
wasn't Fast 5. It wasn't Fast and Furious 6. It wasn't Fast 7. It wasn't Fate of the 8.
Yeah, I felt like it was kind of like a setup for the 10th one. It didn't really do nothing to add to the story, but not trying to get into a Fast and Furious review, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was disappointed in the Forever Purge. So, I mean, you've heard it from Trent. You've heard it from me. We both give it a 5. So, you know, if you're a fan of the Purge movies, check it out. But just don't go in there thinking that it's going to be the best Purge movie ever, because you're going to be sadly disappointed. But that's going to wrap this episode. Yeah?
One more thing. When you're in the movie theater, don't be one of those assholes that thinks you have to commentate loudly throughout the movie. I mean, every one of us work our job all week long. You know? We pay money to go to the movie theater, and I'm not just talking about the movie ticket. I'm talking about you pay money for your drink, you pay money for your food, you're there to enjoy the movie. If you want to commentate, wait till it comes out on Blu-ray or digital and sit at the house and fucking commentate. Because I don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you to shut the fuck up.
And Trent literally did tell some people to shut the fuck up behind us. That was funny. They were talking really loud, too. They were being really disrespectful. I made some comments pretty loud, and then Trent looked at me, and he's like, yeah, it'd be nice if people would watch the movie and shut the fuck up. I kid you not, that movie was quiet for the rest of the whole duration. There was nobody that said nothing. So if you want people to stop talking in the movie, take Trent with you. But anyways, that's going to wrap this episode of the VIP Horror Podcast. Our next episode is going to be covering Resident Evil 8, The Village. So catch that next episode. Until then, keep rocking, y'all.